Episode number 20 of The Champion is brought to you by Stamps.com. Trips to the post office, they're never convenient, so why not get the postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? They give you special postage discounts you can't even get at the post office. It's like you walk to your desk and go, listen, I'd like you to cut me a little deal on this one, all right? And your desk says, yes, we will do exactly that. Deals on first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You will never pay full price for postage ever again. Here's how it works. You use your own computer and your own printer. You buy official U.S. postage for any letter package, print that sucker out, hand it to your mail person, or drop it in a mailbox. It's just that easy. It's no wonder over 500,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Because we use it, because it's awesome. And right now, use my last name, Sigler, to get this special offer. It's a no-risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes a digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. So you can apply that $55 in free postage to the discounted rates that you get with Stamps.com, and you wind up saving even more. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else and click on that microphone at the top of the homepage and you type in Sigler. That is Stamps.com. Enter S-I-G-L-E-R. And now on with our story. Welcome to The Champion, book 5 in the Galactic Football League series. Written and performed by author Scott Sigler. The Champion is suitable for ages 12 and up and contains graphic on-field violence. This novel, along with the first 4 books in the GFL series, is available as a full-length, unabridged, digital audiobook download from Audible, iTunes, and Amazon. As an ebook for Kindle, iPhone, iPad, Android, or any EPUB-compatible device, and in paperback. The Champion is also available as a signed, numbered, limited edition hardcover while supplies last. To order any version, go to scottsigler.com/store. Hello, junkies. Welcome to The Champion, episode number 20. Number 20 means we are now halfway through this book. After this, 20 more weeks to go, 5 more months, and then it will finish up in June. We don't know what we'll be podcasting then, but I'm sure it will be delicious and tickle your nose. I told you last week I finished the first draft of The Rider, sent that off to our continuity editor. So now I am working on, the Earth Core rewrite. That's right, we're going to have Earth Core back for you as an audiobook, as an ebook, maybe someday in print, but not anytime soon. Now, I know a lot of you are like, why aren't you working on the Crypt? Or why aren't you working on Mount Fitzroy? Or why aren't you working on this, working on that? We have multiple reasons for doing Earthcore right now. We've covered them in previous Friday Fixes and when we've talked to people at Siglerfest, etc. But within a couple weeks or so, A Real Girl will cover these reasons again in a blog post over at EmptySet.com. More importantly, the Super Bowl is coming up. Now, you guys know I am a Detroit Lions fan, but I am looking forward to the Super Bowl. I can't decide who I would like to win. The awesome D and hard-hitting action of the Seahawks, or would I like to see Brady cement his legacy with a 4th ring? What do you think, junkie? Go to scottsigler.com, find episode number 20 of The Champion, and tell me in the comments what you think about who you would like to see win the Super Bowl, why you would like to see it, and more importantly, I want to see your predictions. Closest to getting it right may win a prize. Get over to scottsigler.com and let's talk some football. There is no talkie talk after the episode, but let me pay some bills. Then I will get you caught up on the story and then we will get into it. Our second sponsor for The Champion episode number 20 is none other than GoDaddy.com. Dudes, dudettes, dudish names of all genders. 99 cents for a .com. Yes, with the GoDaddy code Sigler99, it's 99 cents. Hey, you got kids? Trust me, by the time they need it, the .com with their name will be gone if you don't act now. Hey, you got that dream business you want to start? You better snag the .com just so you have it locked up. Hey, are you an author? Hey, are you a creator? I have always said, if you can't put a .com at the end of your name and own it, then you need to come up with a name variation or a pen name. But those two need to get locked up. And now you can grab them for just 99 cents. Go to scottsigler.com/GoDaddy to learn more, or go to GoDaddy.com and use the code Sigler99. That is S-I-G-L-E-R-99. Do it now. Previously on The Champion, Greedock the Split had offered to give Quentin's sister, Janine, an apartment in the Kraken's building, an offer that Quentin accepted. Since returning from her rescue, though, he has seen little of her. John Tweedy was a part of that rescue. So, too, was Heavy G lineman Michael Kimberlin, who wants to know more about Quentin's relationship with Petra Prowitt. On the gridiron, the Krakens won their Week 1 regular season opener against the Isis Ice Storm. Ionath dives right into Week 2 when they host the Scheb Stalkers, also 1-0, in a cross-divisional matchup. And now, Episode 20 of The Champion.
GFL Week 1 Roundup, courtesy Galaxy Sports Network. Coming into the opening week of the 86th GFL season, one question was on the minds of football fans all across the galaxy. Are the Ionath Krakens, 1-0, ready to defend their 85 title? Based on the results of their 35-10 drubbing of the Isis Ice Storm, 0-1, the early answer is a resounding yes. Krakens quarterback Quentin Barnes ripped the Storm secondary for 341 yards and 4 touchdowns. Barnes completed passes to 10 different receivers. Denver, Yasud Murphy, George Starcher, and Tara the Freak all caught touchdowns. Denver led all receivers with 6 receptions for 112 yards. Running back Drew Tweedy carried the ball 15 times for 96 yards and a touchdown. How did the Krakens Planet Division rivals do? Well, that depends on which team you're talking about. Buddha City, Wabash, OS1, or y'all. Over the past 5 seasons, Ionath has developed or renewed bitter rivalries with those 4 franchises. The OS1 Orbiting Death, 1-0, made an early statement with a 24-21 come-from-behind win over the Toe Pirates, 0-1. Death quarterback Condor Adrian ran in the winning touchdown in dramatic fashion, hitting Pirates star defender Ciudad Juarez head-on and falling across the goal line with just 4 ticks left on the clock. Wabash, 1-0, who has faced Ionath the last 2 years in the playoffs, controlled Corona Delana, 0-1, 35-24 in a game that wasn't as close as it sounds. Wolfpack QB Rich Bennett connected with tight end Alexander Van Houten for 3 scores, while Ralph Pappy Schmier rushed for 56 yards and 2 touchdowns. Y'all quarterback Rick Renaud showed no signs of the injuries suffered in last year's playoff loss to Ionath. The 26-85 league MVP threw for 428 yards and 5 touchdown passes as the Criminals, 1-0, posted a 35-0 shutout over the Themela Dreadnoughts, who are 0-1. Buddha City, 1-0, also notched a win, edging out Vic, 0-1, by a score of 17-14 on a last-second field goal by kicker Donald Baines. Elite defensive tackle Don Wenzel dominated the game, recording 3 sacks on Vanguard quarterback Rich Barchi. In the Solar Division, Texas, 1-0, kicked off the season with a strong 28-21 win over the Board Brigands, 0-1. Earthlings linebacker Alonzo Castro intercepted Board quarterback Mike Kazmierik and returned the ball for a 72-yard game-winning pick 6. Despite 3 touchdowns from Dione quarterback Len Howell, the Coelacanths, 0-1, dropped their Tier 1 opener to Alamum, who's 1-0. The Armada won 27-26 on a 65-yard Hail Mary touchdown pass from quarterback Kirill Gormelski to rookie receiver Sopchappi. In other key Solar Division games, Neptune, 1-0, topped a cow, 0-1, by a score of 24-17, while Jupiter, 0-1, was upset 28-10 by Sheb, who is 1-0. The Stalkers rallied after their rookie receiver Ashaway died on the first offensive play of the season.
Guess!
Sheb rookie receiver Ashaway, killed on a clean hit by Jupiter linebacker Katanda Beheada.
Offensive player of the week!
Y'all Criminals quarterback Rick Renaud, who threw for 5 touchdown passes and 428 yards in a win over the Themela Dreadnoughts.
Defensive player of the week!
Buddha City defensive tackle Don Wenzel, who had 3 sacks, 5 solo tackles, and 3 assists in the Elite 17-14 last second win over the Vic Vanguard.
Chapter 35, Week 2, Scheb Stalkers at Ionath Krakens. Week 2 standings. Planet Division, tied for first with records of 1-0, Alamum Armada, Buddha City Elite, Ionath Krakens, OS1 Orbiting Death, Wabash Wolfpack, Y'all Criminals. And tied for last with records of 0-1, Corona Delana Cloud Killers, Daoni Coelacanths, Isis Ice Storm, Themela Dreadnoughts, and Toe Pirates. In the Solar Division, tied for first with records of 1-0, Bartel Waterbugs, Jang Atom Smashers, Neptune Scarlet Flyers, Sheb Stalkers, Texas Earthlings. And tied for last with records of 0-1, Board Brigands, Dachau War Dogs, Jupiter Jacks, McMurdo Murderers, Shora Warlords, and Vic Vanguard. The game, just like the week of practice before it, went by in a blur. Quentin knew the defense's every move. He anticipated their actions and predicted their adjustments. He saw their deep green helmets with red-eyed white lightning bolt skulls on the side, saw their white jerseys with the red-trimmed green numbers, saw their red leg armor with the white lightning bolts down the side. He'd seen those same uniforms back in his rookie year 4 seasons earlier, but back then, he'd been watching from the sidelines as Don Pine had led the Krakens to a home victory. This time, Quentin was the one who drove daggers into the Sheb Stalkers' souls. He hit Denver on a flag pattern for a 56-yard touchdown. Minutes later, on third and long, he scrambled 32 yards to the Sheb 25-yard line, then on the next play, found Terah the Freak over the middle for another score. A touchdown pass to Milford closed out the second quarter. Halftime whizzed by as he and Hokor searched for new ways to exploit the Sheb D, but there wasn't much new territory to be mined as the Sheb D had already been exploited to the tune of a 28-0 INF lead. In the second half, Quentin hit Sheboygan for a deep pass to the Sheb 3-yard line. Next play, he looked right, staring at Denver long enough to draw the defense, then tossed a pass to Yasud in the left flat. Sud took it in for the score. In the fourth quarter, a John Tweedy interception gave INF the ball on the Sheb 49. The very next play, Quentin stepped up into the pocket and threw a laser strike to Halawa, hitting her at the back of the end zone for his 5th TD pass of the night. With a 42-3 lead, Quentin stayed on the sidelines, giving Yitzhak 2 full drives of game-time reps. Zach completed a couple of short passes, but mostly handed off to Yasud or rookie fullback Nancy Wolf. The score remained the same when the clock ticked down to 0. Quentin led his teammates in a lap around the field, reaching up to touch the Krakens fans who reached down to touch them back. The Krakens had just won their 2nd game. That meant the regular season was well underway, and that meant Becca should have gotten over it by now. But she hadn't.
Rebecca Montaigne isn't answering your call.
The room computer gave him the news he'd expected, the same news it had given him all week leading up to the game against the Stalkers and the week leading up to the ice storm before that. She was perfectly civil to him in the locker room, on the practice field and during games, never showing anger or disdain that could hamper team unity, but outside of those places, she simply wouldn't talk to him. Following the Stalkers game, Quentin had cleaned up, congratulated his teammates on the dominant win, then done his time in the post-game press conference. After that, the short walk through the secure underground tunnel that ran from the stadium to the Krakens building, then up to his apartment. The door chime sounded softly, and for a brief second, Quentin's heart surged at the thought of Becca finally coming to see him.
John Tweedy at your door.
Quentin sighed.
Enter.
John came in, hand in hand with Janine. The sight of his sister instantly raised Quentin's spirits a little. She gave him a big hug.
Good game, baby brother.
Thanks. You watch on Holo?
She shook her head.
Hell no. I was there this time. Don't worry. No one would have recognized me.
Janine held up her palm and tapped the icons that appeared above it. A Holo pic popped up, showing 2 smiling, mustached men wearing Sheb Stalkers jerseys and jackets. It took Quentin a second, but he recognized Janine as one of the men.
A fake mustache?
She held a slim finger against her upper lip.
Presto, I'm like a whole nother person, don't you think?
Quentin didn't recognize the man in the picture with her, but he didn't need to.
I'm glad Fred was with you.
Me too,
John said. The words, "Chicks look better without facial hair," scrolled across his forehead. Janine laughed and elbowed him in the ribs.
Q, we're going to dinner to celebrate. Come with us. Fred's gonna be there.
You might come too, if he's not out drinking with Sude, Crawford, and Athanas. By the way, that rookie can drink.
Food would be good, as would spending time with his sister, but what if Becca called back?
Nah, you guys go ahead. I'm going to analyze our game footage. We got 3 straight road games coming up. Karana to Lana, then y'all, then the 6-day trip from y'all to Neptune, then the 6-day trip from Neptune back home. We'll be away from Ionath for 2 full weeks. You need to enjoy these home wins while you can, brother of mine.
Janine reached out and held Quentin's hand.
Come on, she said. A relaxed dinner away from this little apartment of yours will do you good. Listen to your big sister. She knows all about affairs of the heart.
She knew he and Becca were having trouble? Of course she did. She was dating the team's linebacker, who also happened to be Quentin's best friend. Quentin had been so obsessed with the season, with the ice storm and then the stalkers, and with his love life, that he hadn't really carved out time to spend with Janine. That was stupid. He had crossed the galaxy to save her, then couldn't be bothered to take an elevator 2 floors down and hang out with her every now and then? He was busy, sure, but nobody could be that busy. Sometimes, he realized, he didn't know how fast the weeks were flying by, didn't comprehend how much time passed while he was heads down in the playbooks, practice, and game footage.
All right, I'll go, as long as the restaurant isn't Torba the Hungry's.
Janine made a sour face.
I don't think I ever want to see that place again.
Ever, ever?
John said, his eyes widening like he was 6 and Janine had just broken his favorite toy.
But Torba's is great! The ribs are amazing! Q, why wouldn't you want to go? Oh, right, the whole big fight thing and almost shooting your fake dad in the face.
John shrugged.
Anyway, we're going to Bernie's Biscuit House. He's got a private back room.
I'll meet you there, Quentin said. Just have to finish up a few things first.
Janine stood on tiptoes to kiss him on the cheek.
Okay, but don't take long.
John and Janine left. Quentin didn't have anything to finish up, but maybe he could ask Becca to come to dinner. Maybe if Becca knew John and Janine would be there, she might come. He felt a rush of embarrassment. No, he wasn't going to call Becca a second time in one night. No way. She was the one being ridiculous, not him. He was stronger than that. The door chime sounded. Quentin's heart betrayed him, again surging at the hope that it was Becca coming to talk.
Michael Kimberlin at your door.
Quentin sighed.
Enter.
The mountain of heavy G offensive guard walked in. His right eye was swollen and blackened, and there was a smear of blue nanomed gel on his split lower lip. Quentin hadn't been touched all night, but only because his offensive line had battled hard to protect him.
Good evening, Quentin.
What's up, Mike? I was about to head to dinner.
Kimberlin raised an eyebrow.
You're going out instead of studying for next week? Will wonders never cease?
Quentin rolled his eyes.
I leave the building sometimes.
An event more rare than a full eclipse, I assure you. If you have a moment before you go, I have an issue of some importance.
The man looked deadly serious.
Sure, Mike. Go ahead.
Kimberlin started to talk, then paused, gathering his thoughts. Quentin waited. Kimberlin usually knew exactly what he wanted to say about any and all subjects. Whatever this concerned, it was hard for him.
We had a conversation 2 seasons ago, he said. I don't know if you recall it. I told you that someday you might use your abilities for something greater than football.
Quentin nodded.
When I cooked dinner for the key, right? When Mumo barfed up a hamburger.
Which was less than appetizing.
You can say that again.
Kimberlin's voice dropped in volume. Not to a whisper, exactly, but not far from it.
After our trip to the Portath Cloud, I believe that someday I spoke of has arrived. Our next game is in Karana de Lana. Being there gives you a chance to discreetly meet with sentients from the Tribal Accords Independence Movement.
independence movement. What did that have to do with anything?
Mike, if you want to charge sentience for my autograph, do I get a cut of the action?
Timberland's face wrinkled in annoyance.
This isn't the time for your bad jokes. I'm not talking about your thumbprint.
Then what are you talking about?
The invasion.
Quentin's anger stirred, a snake slowly uncoiling in his belly. He had finally pushed away all thoughts of Petra's ridiculous request, and here was Mike, stirring things up again.
Wait a minute, Quentin said. How could that be what you meant when you said, I should do something greater than football? We had that conversation way before we went to the cloud.
That's not what I meant at the time,
Kimberlyn said.
I was trying to... It doesn't matter. What matters is now. You have a huge role to play in all of this, and we can start next week. The Hurrah have the best pilots and fighter craft in the galaxy. Sure, the Kredorakians have thousands of Hurrah in the Imperial fleet, but we'll need the underground support of the tribal leaders from each of the Accord's 5 homeworlds. I can arrange meetings with members of the 5 major tribes.
This was coming out of nowhere. What the hell was the Hurrah Independence Movement? How did Mike know anyone from it? And why was he bringing this up now when... The snake in Quentin's belly unfurled further, lifted its head, and flashed fangs dripping with poison.
You talked to Petra. Bumblepuff had a message for you, right? Petra put you up to this.
What?
Kimberlyn shook his head.
No, I didn't talk to Petra. Wait, did you talk to her again, since we've been back?
The thought of that excited Kimberlyn, animated him.
It's a lie, Mike. There is no invasion.
The words just came out and they felt good. They felt right. Quentin desperately wanted them to be true. If the invasion was a lie, he didn't have to change anything. He could enjoy the life that he'd worked so hard to build. Mike crossed his arms.
Why would Petra lie about it?
Maybe their economy is failing. I don't know. They have no trade with other systems. Maybe she wants to use this to get other nations to accept her. She needs something after all the war she started. And a boogeyman even scarier than the Prawat might do just that.
The Prawat have existed for centuries without intergalactic trade. That doesn't seem likely.
Quentin shrugged.
I said I don't know why she's lying, Mike. I just know that she is. And even if she isn't, it's still not my problem.
The heavy G stared, a scowl slowly forming on his oversized features.
If she's not lying, the life of every sentient in this galaxy is at risk, and it's not your problem?
He shook his head.
Maybe I was wrong about you. Maybe everyone was.
What is that supposed to mean?
I thought you'd left the selfish kid from Makovey behind.
Quentin wanted to hit him. If Mike hadn't been so damn big, he might have done just that.
Selfish. I'm a team player and you know it. I've given everything I have for the Krakens.
The heavy G pounded a huge fist into a huge hand, and his face screwed up tight with fury.
I'm not talking about football. I'm talking about the entire galaxy going to war.
Quentin had learned how to control his own emotions, mostly because his default state was one of rage. Kimberlyn wasn't like that. Anywhere but on the football field, Mike was always calm. Always collected, always spoke in a voice so smooth it could make a rabid dog lie down and take a nice nap. Before now, Quentin had never heard the man yell. Had they been talking about anything else, anything at all, Quentin would have tried to slow things down and understand his friend, his teammate, and tutor and mentor. But when it came to Petra and her delusions, Quentin was simply done with all of it.
I'll tell you the same thing I told her. If you think there's a war coming, then go get a soldier, someone who can actually do something about it. You supposedly know the Hurrah Independence Movement? If that isn't just as much crap as Petra is slinging, then go tell them!
Kimberlin breathed in deep through his nose, a sharp, long sound like he was trying to jam a cork into a bottle of frustration. He let it out slow, and his face returned to normal, calm, placid, patient. His face, yes, but his eyes still simmered with anger.
I may have asked you for action before I fully explained why I think this is real. I can educate you on why this is so important, Quentin. I can—
Get out, Mike! Get the hell out of my apartment! Now!
Mike stared, his mouth twitching slightly. Quentin wondered if that cork might pop from internal pressure, and he knew that if it did, there would be no putting it back.
We're not finished with this,
Kimberlin said.
We are. Get out.
Kimberlin shook his head, then turned and left. The door hissed shut behind him, leaving Quentin fuming and wishing he had a target. Any target. It didn't matter what Kimberlin believed, didn't matter what Petra said, didn't even matter if Bumberpuff was really being used or if he was the one pulling those strings. Right now, what mattered was that the Krakens were in first place and that his sister was waiting to share a meal with him.
Focus on that. You have responsibilities to the team and your family. Just calm down. Just calm down.
Quentin waited for a few minutes to make sure he wouldn't run into Kimberlin in the halls. Then he headed out to dinner.
You have been listening to The Champion, Book 5 in the Galactic Football League series, written and performed by author Scott Sigler, produced by A. Kovacs, and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on the author and for more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song Heaven's a Lie by the band Lacuna Coil.